Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, the only healthcare marketing podcast that digs into the digital strategies and tactics that help you accelerate growth. Each week, Cardinals experts explore innovative ways to build your digital presence and attract more patients. Buckle up for another episode of Ignite.
Welcome back to Ignite, everybody. You're in for a treat. You know, I always say you're in for a treat, but it's always fun when I get to invite friends on here. And you know what's best about having friends is they can't say no. And the friends that are best to come on here are the ones that have not just done healthcare their whole lives, because some of the other industries can do some more innovative stuff because they have less HIPAA restrictions. Jacob DeMorza, we've got on today, has come from a variety of different industries, always multi-local, always come. Jacob, what? From QSR Pizza Pizza to salons and then to healthcare, right? Welcome to Ignite. What's up?
Yeah, thank you, man. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. I'm at a new podcast studio. They thought we looked like hood rats at our office, and now we're very fancy and renting something out. Look, everybody can see. It's got a background. Hey, Carly, say hi from the new. There's Carly. She said, oh my God, we can't use this clip. Jake, I'm excited. Tell all six of our listeners the different places you've been.
Yeah. So listen, I've been in the game for like 15 years now, and it's all been operational and marketing experience, kind of heavily focused in multi-unit retail spaces. I started in QSR, Little Caesars Pizza Pizza. I moved over to a retail position. So I went from the franchisor side to the franchisee side. I worked for the largest franchisee of Regis, and that was a group called the Line Salon Group. They had 400 locations. Operated in three different markets and under three different brands, but most commonly known as Supercuts or Cross Cutters, and Holiday Gear, a little lesser known, but still kind of more of a high-end boutique situation. And then from there, I moved over into the DSO healthcare space and had a small stint with a boutique group, right? So eight locations here in Metro Detroit, and then was recruited over with a larger DSO that at the time had 50 locations and then spanned out to just under 95 today.
That's it. That's awesome. And you never worked for a car brand being in Detroit.
You know what? I always wanted to, but I grew up with like car guys in the family, right? And so all different facets, right? From corporate level down to mechanics. And while cars were always my kind of a fun hobby of mine, nobody wanted me to go into it. They said, go somewhere else. And so I graduated and I thought, well, pizza. How fun is that?
Yeah. And pizza was fun. We had Papa John's back in the day. But man, we're a Ford family. If I could ever do anything for a car brand, it won't be Cardinal, but if I could ever do something for that brand one day, that'd be cool. So so the commonality, so you got a ton of multi-location experience, which is fun. What have you seen works best? Because all of our provider group, I mean, it's all multi-location. We do the same stuff. Mm-hmm. What are like the marketing strategies? When you go into a new group, what's the first thing you look at?
So really, you know, you kind of have to get an understanding of the lay of the land. But every place I've ever been, the number one thing is always the same. How do we get new customers in the door? How do we get new patients into the door? And once we get them into the door, how do we keep them activated and kind of have that, you know, full engagement with our patient or our customer? And so that's always been the main focus, is let's see where we're at and how do we get those new patients, new customers in, and how do we keep them coming back? And, you know, when you look at it from a marketing perspective, nowadays we have a full stack of opportunities and tools at our resources that we can leverage. But the number one thing is do what you do and do it well. So if you're in pizza, do pizza really well. If you're giving haircuts, give good haircuts. If you're in dental, do good dental. That's the number one focus right there.
I just got an appointment reminder while I was on the phone with this one. I'm not sure about this one. And so I agree with you. Patient satisfaction is number one. Do good dental. And these people, they jabbed my teeth and they didn't use a lot of, a lot of numb cream. So I don't think I'm going back. But do good dental. And then how do you activate that? Is patient satisfaction enough? Or is there some, like, how do you activate the happy ones? Or do they just come back on their own?
No. So, I mean, it's a little bit of both, right? The happy ones, you want to engage them and ask them for patient reviews and kind of self-promote that, right? So you're going to use the tools available for you. You're going to do a paid ads campaign. You're going to do social and Facebook and all that type of stuff. And you're going to push that out. And if you're doing the right job, they're going to communicate that out to people. But the unsatisfied ones, you still have an opportunity, right? So we jabbed you, right? You were at the dentist of the day and you felt a little pain. Well, we got to make sure that we're following up with you and still actually asking you for a patient satisfaction survey. And so that we can identify what we did incorrectly. And so then there's a whole whole set of opportunities that are available to us. First, we can get you back in into the chair because we've identified, you know, maybe we didn't do a great job and here's, you know, what we can do to make that correct in the first place. Or maybe we didn't fully identify or fully explain to you, you know, what the procedure was going to entail. And so that kind of goes back, you know, where marketing works hand in hand with operations. We're going to, you know, look at that from a training perspective of what we could do better to communicate that to you. And in today's world, there's a lot of like technology that can do that for us. We have a lot of AI stuff that can kind of digitally show you in advance the procedure that you're going to have to hopefully kind of remove some of those unknowns or anxieties about going to the dentist.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to my six listeners, important what Jacob said, it's not just marketing for the sake of marketing. If you're a great marketer, you're also thinking about the operational impact, like the things that we should do should make the business better. And so if you're going to get a bad review on Google, fine, but you should be following up for the patient satisfaction scores and the qualitative info that may come from following up. Hey, what did we do wrong? We jabbed you. Okay. Do you remember when you came in? And then you're passing those insights back to those locations and the head of the DSO, whatever it may be, and improving the patient care and access and experience. Very important. So don't just think like marketers. Like, Jacob, I've been talking about MOPS this whole year on LinkedIn. I'm sure people are sick of it, but marketing and ops alignment, my friend Teresa gave that one to me. It's becoming more important that we feel comfortable sitting at the table with the ops folk. Even,
you know, I can speak to that. That's been my entire career, and I learned early on the importance of that, right? So typically, I get the feeling where whatever organization I'm in, and whether it's QSR, retail, or in the dental space, operations and marketing, they sometimes, you know, they butt heads. And so that's always been a goal of mine when I come into an organization, is aligning with that team specifically. And I think early on, because I started in an operational standpoint and then moved over to, you know, a local marketing position, it really allowed me to draw a dotted line between the two teams. And so whenever I'm trying to execute on even just a local marketing strategy, or if there's a new campaign that we're deploying, bringing in operations with me on that and kind of giving them a little authorship, it kind of leads to leadership on that. And it tends to help execute it at a local level better. If marketing is always trying to just, you know, push things out into the field and operations isn't in tune or on board with it, it's going to drop. And so being aligned together from the get-go and having some say in it will allow that campaign to execute stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. If ops can't support it because we don't have the capacity and specialty or GD or whatever it could be, our locations are full and they're booking out or whatever, yep, then it won't work. And so, guys, what Jacob said there is when he starts anywhere, or if anyone comes in, he's going to go meet with them and make that ops person their buddy. I would also contend, hey, you got to go make the lawyer your buddy, the compliance person, the technologist person, the CEHR, like all of these. There's like a good bit. And I think COVID made us bad at this. And we become too accustomed to Zoom and we're not comfortable networking or selling ourselves. But guys, if we as marketers want to push things forward, you're going to need buddies in the system that are aligned with you and what you want to do instead of you just pushing stuff that will not go anywhere, like Jacob said. So spend more time getting to know your future buddies within the org. I don't think we call it like what, politicking or something like that. And it has such a negative connotation. And it's like not. Go make friends so that you guys can all push forward together. Yep. And when you were in these DSOs, did you market GD and specialty different? I don't know the makeup of those two DSOs. Did they even have specialty stuff or did you look at them different?
We did. We in both instances, we had a combination of both. And you do have to market them differently. And typically, I find that kind of specialty is where we're heavily digital, right? So that's where you're really kind of promoting and sharing quality care and outcomes, right? So you're kind of identifying that there's a need and we're going to show you how well we do it and the results of that. Where general practice, I think that really my basis is digital is always important. It's always awesome when you have a full stack that you can work with, but kind of going back to what I kind of boots on the ground tactics really work well in a regular practice versus a specialty. Specialty, I think you have to get a little bit more creative.
Yeah, more creative. And the general, so you're saying the boots on the ground. What are some of the boots on the ground thing that work for general dentists? Because we're in digital, I'm not as familiar, and I'm like curious how much time and money they spend on that. What's the sign so, off front the door? And
that's one of the things that I think is one of the biggest missed opportunities when I'm working with a practice is that, you know, obviously technology and advancement, you're taking advantage of it, right? Is important. But going back to the basics, the boots on the ground, what's one thing that used to happen when you would go to the dentist that just doesn't exist anymore? You are a new patient. You go to the practice. You're there for the first time. You leave with your little goodie bag.
A card, a goodie bag.
Yes, exactly. No, you right there, the card, the handwritten note, right? I'm new to the practice. And so I think this is important because a lot of times when practices join a larger DSO, they're really excited about all of the new opportunities that are available to them, all the new technologies that are available to them and advancements. And they kind of back away from the basics. And I'll tell you, a handwritten note from your new doctor or, you know, a thank you item for choosing your practice. I mean, typically, you know, depending on where you're at, but for most places I've seen, the new patient will generate $850 in revenue is somewhere on that scale, right? So taking a little bit of extra time, sending them a thank you gift for coming into your practice, I think goes a really long way. And then another piece of that is, so the same thing with referrals, but I think that what's really important about referral programs is being able to, so that's a boots on the ground tactic, but being able to streamline that into a more modern pace, right? So nobody's carrying around a business card anymore and saying, hey, you know, I've got this dentist and here's a punch card or whatever it is, and, you know, reference my name. So being able to, at a practice level, streamline that to where it's a text message to your current patient. You're saying, hey, thanks for coming in. You know, leave us a review. Excellent. You know, you give us 5 stars. If you refer us, forward this text message to your family or friend or whoever and bring them back in. And those two small things, I think, get eliminated a lot of times because people are so excited about the new technology and it's important. But when you're talking general practice, I think sometimes that gets forgotten and it makes an impact when it comes back.
Yeah. And then you want the shiny DSO tricks, like all the tech and integrations and stuff. You forget, like, what made y'all successful was that you were a local practice, local flavor, local attention. And so don't become the behemoth, like use the advantages that we have. But like, I went in for a heart procedure and then a month later, I got a handwritten note from the signatures from all the NPs and PAs and all that. And the doctor said, thanks for coming in. Hope you're alive, et cetera, paraphrasing. And I was like, oh, like, that's really cool. They sent a handwritten thing. So Jacob's right, guys. The simple sometimes can be the most effective because it's the only thing no one's doing anymore. Everybody's like, they got the SMS reminder, right? So that's important. What would you say, like, for general, what proportion of time should be spent on the traditional stuff, high school sponsorship versus digital? Was digital a really important activation piece for the general? And you know the LTV 850. I want to talk about that in a second. Was digital still important for bringing in new patients?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can't forget about it, right? So yeah, absolutely. You have to invest into it. But I also think that, you know, when you have to have an understanding of an adequate budget, depending on your market, right? So if you've always been in, you know, the rural mountains or the rural South, those, you know, high school football games and local sponsorships are really important, but tapping into digital, it was really interesting. I had a market that they were new to digital and they were a larger group, right? They were over in Alabama. And they mentioned to me, people don't go on the internet here. People don't check, you know, they're not on the internet. And I'm like, I don't really necessarily believe that because everyone, including their grandma, has a phone in their hand and they're at least on Facebook. So as soon as we started investing in a paid strategy, what was really unique to me is that the new patient numbers increased immediately, right? And it was because for a really small budget. And so maybe the difference was that they were the industry leader in it. And that was the mindset of the area that nobody had invested in digital. But as soon as we did, we saw a huge gain of market share.
Yeah. And you could have looked at search trends and been like, look, there's 20 people looking in Dothan, Alabama. I told you, let's get all 20. No one else advertised. It still works. And you know what I hear from some of those rural towns is the yellow pages still works. Like, that's what people get. And I'm like, okay. And can we run ads? Yes. And then it works. So you have a great point that even though some areas may be more used to something, digital is pretty effective just about everywhere you go. And it's trackable. 850 LTV. So you looked at that and you said, hey, the value of the patient's 850. Did you back into the net new what we're willing to spend on digital based on that? Were you willing to lose on the first patient interaction? And like, that most people don't know their LTV. I'm fascinated.
Yeah. So what we ended up doing is we, in these new markets that we were tapping into, and we knew what our value, lifetime value of the patient was, we didn't back into it, right? So we went with kind of an industry standard of what I kind of thought the spend needed to be to dip your toe into the sandbox and see what that would generate for us, especially if it was the first time that we were doing anything like that. We needed to be prepared to enter in at a minimum threshold and see where that was going to take us. And then once we received that data, number of impressions and click-throughs and seeing how the ads were populating, you know, to determine whether we needed to be a stronger presence or not. One of the practices that we were working with, it was a heavily competitive market. And, you know, our entry-level fee that we were paying for paid ads wasn't even generating, right? I mean, the money was being spent, but it was going so quickly that, you know, 4 days later, you know, the famous thing is I didn't see the ad. But yeah, you know, we could see that the dollars were being spent too fast. And so we had to either make a decision to increase our budget to be competitive with the market, or, you know, determine whether we were going to take our dollars and do something different with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess it just comes down to business insight and whether you're willing to roll the dice more or not. I think in the beginning with de novo or any kind of new acquisition, you just got to play and it's going to be expensive to get some awareness wherever you're entering into.
Well, yeah. And you have to kind of understand, you know, when you're acquiring a practice or you're doing a de novo, specifically if you're acquiring a practice, I think that it's a little bit different. You have to look at what their prior marketing spend was and how long they've been in business in that current market and how strong was their brand identity to begin with. And then you can make an informed decision from there. De novo, I think, is almost a completely different strategy. You come in strong with a full funnel grand opening marketing plan.
Jacob knows all about it. And you would launch that how far out and just try to get bookings how far out?
For a de novo, we would look at that about 6-8 weeks out.
And you're filling calendars that early. And yeah, full funnel. So you're running Insta, Facebook, YouTube, anything you can get your hands on in that local area. Yeah, smart. And then the acquisitory ones are a little different. You look at where they're at, how strong the brand presence is, and then you modify accordingly. Yeah, marketing is, you know, you can come up with, our clients come to us often for media playbooks. De novo is an easier one to construct, but the acquisition one is difficult because it depends on where that one is at, and they might be better at marketing. Well, I can't tell you. Right. Maybe we don't need to touch it. Maybe that should be your agency and not me.
Right.
It totally depends on where they're at. I'm just kidding. Nobody's better than Cardinal. Jacob, in the last year and a half, the HIPAA has come around. Have you found that it changed a lot of what you were doing, any of what you were doing? Can't stand it. Love it. What's the deal?
Listen, you know, it's one of those things that I probably didn't pay enough attention to, right? And I needed to, because it changed the game completely. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, it limits your data availability. It's stringent on what information you get and how you get that information. It mandates that you notify the patient that they're going to be, you know, sending them or getting their permission to send them this type of marketing communications. And it's been a pain point from a marketing standpoint. But I'll tell you the positive that I do take away from it is that it can build trust with your patients. You know, they have trust in HIPAA, that HIPAA is going to protect them. And by being open and honest with them, I think it builds trust and transparency with the patient that, hey, we're protecting your information and, you know, we're putting the ball in your court to determine whether or not you're going to receive a marketing message or incentive from us.
Yeah, that's smart. And so you're letting people know when they land on landing pages and email communication, hey, we take this stuff seriously. So yeah, that's good. I've seen a lot of good come from it. It's, you know, it's been a pain that people are getting sued, but like a lot of groups have had to innovate very quickly on the technology they use. And it has yielded better advertising effectiveness. CPLs are coming down. We're understanding who's in that new patient, not who was and not returning. So all of it not cheap to fix, but it is building better advertising, but none of us paid enough attention to it. Now we are. And I think, Jacob, what you said is important. It can be a differentiator because there's still a lot of groups out there that are not taking it that seriously. So you can use that as a differentiator while privacy is all the rage.
The practices that aren't paying attention to it's only a matter of time before they get their hands slapped heavily with some huge fines. Yeah. I was late to the game in that. And, you know, partnering with, you know, guys like yourself and teams that have adequately resourced that information to figure out what we need to be doing, I rely on, you know, it can be a costly mess up if you're not following the rules.
Yeah. The benefits of the agency support is that we've seen all of that slappery of the hands across 80 other clients. So we can help a lot of people avoid the gotchas. And we've seen the integrations because it takes a lot of technology upheaval. You've got to get call lead tracking, a different analytics system. You got to get a CDP, like holy smokes.
Right.
No one in-house knows how to do that because we barely do. So It's not been a cheap year for healthcare marketers. I sympathize, but I have seen on the other end, CPLs and advertising has dramatically improved. Okay, Jacob, finally, we just talked about threats this year, so we don't need to talk about that. Everybody knows what the big threat to everybody is this year with HIPAA compliance and PHI being handled correctly. What is the biggest opportunity you see with multi-local marketers, healthcare marketers, dental marketers? What are you most excited about when you go into a new group? What advice would you give a marketing director? Hey, pay attention to this year.
Don't do it. No, just kidding. So the biggest thing that I think gets me excited, and you know, we're coming out of COVID, right? Everyone's mentioned COVID. It's this long haul thing. But finding the right people to work for you has been a really big challenge in really every segment, right? I talk to my buddies that are still in QSR, still in retail, and now in health. Yeah. What I'm really excited about in dental marketing is the fact that a lot of the new dentists that are coming out of school, they're kind of leaving that traditional mindset of wanting a solo practice, and they're looking to these larger groups to join for personal security, for being access to larger technology, for having the ability to have the support of the group. And I think that's unique. And it's one thing I'm excited about from a recruiting standpoint. That's been a challenge in every industry. And to see the shift in mindset from doctors and dentists to come on board to a DSO organization, I think that's pretty cool. And I think in turn, what that can do for us is it can lead to better patient care, because when you have more doctors in play, you're allowed to spend a little bit more time with them, give them that better patient experience. And so we're able to celebrate this.
Yeah, that's awesome. So better care and easier recruiting.
Yep.
That's good. I hadn't even thought of that our generation wants lifestyle coming out. And so the DSO, MSO space is going to be a lot easier for it, because right now they feel the pain point. And it's almost more on the mid-level stuff, especially behavioral, that they're really, all the groups are struggling. Jacob, this has been extremely informative, guys. It's rare that we have someone with so much multi-local experience inside and outside of healthcare. He's done the innovative stuff. Marketing pizza, and pizza is one of the most fun ones. I love getting people fat. Jacob, now we get to get them healthy. I love it. Skinny and healthy. Jacob, thank you for joining us on Ignite. Can't wait to learn more from you in the future.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ignite. Interested in keeping up with the latest trends in healthcare marketing? Subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review. For more healthcare marketing tips, visit our blog at cardinaldigitalmarketing.com.